I'm Erica McIntyre, Content Director for Jason's Connection. Today, Jason Harris, our founder, will be talking with Tony Weaver, President of the PFLAG Council of Northern Illinois.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. So can you tell us, what is PFLAG?
Well, PFLAG originally stood for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. However, as time passed, we realized that PFLAG, the name of the organization, did not reflect the fact that we have fully embraced bisexual and transgender as well. So the acronym PFLAG is generally what the organization goes by. But we are all inclusive for the entire spectrum of LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with PFLAG?
Well, back in 2002, the day after the youngest of our three sons graduated from college, he did come out to us and told us that he was gay. And while we were very accepting from the very beginning, we had many questions. We wanted to talk to other people. And just by pure dumb luck, I stumbled upon PFLAG. And to my surprise, there was a chapter that met in the neighboring community. I would never have had a clue that there was an organization like this actually meeting in McHenry County, which is a very conservative, very Republican community, originally a farming community. So I was very surprised. But I attended my first meeting, met with other parents, actually met my first transgender person, or at least one that whom I knew was transgender, and as they say, the rest is history.
Now, does PFLAG also include asexuality, which is somewhat becoming into the foreground as well?
You know, while asexuality would certainly be talked about, we started out primarily as a support organization for parents. Would you be interested in how PFLAG got started?
Yeah, go ahead. That would be great.
Because that might explain a little bit more about our purpose and mission. It was back in the early 70s. I want to say maybe 1972, which would have been 3 years after the Stonewall riots in Greenwich Village, New York, that one lone mother by the name of Jean Manford marched in the Christopher Street Parade, which was the precursor to the New York City Pride Parade. She marched in the Christopher Street Parade with her son Monty, and she carried a sign saying, "Parents of gays, unite in support of our children." By the time she got to the end of the parade route, she was virtually mobbed with people asking her what they could do, what they could do to support their gay children. And about a year later, the first PFLAG meeting was held in the basement of a Methodist church in Greenwich Village. PFLAG has grown from that point to have 350 chapters approximately throughout the United States. There's some in Canada, some in Europe. PFLAG has a threefold mission of support, which would be helping parents who are perhaps having difficulty accepting the fact that they have an LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender child. So support was its original function. And then education is the second leg of the stool. And that would be educating an ill-informed public. And the third part of our mission is advocacy. We go to bat for our gay kids. So that, in a nutshell, is PFLAG.
Mm-hmm. So do you partner with other groups as well?
We certainly do try to work hand in hand. For example, here in Illinois, we have a very good working relationship with Equality Illinois. In fact, one of the field directors for Equality Illinois actually sits on our Northern Illinois PFLAG Council.
And how does it feel that gay marriage, that marriage equality is now in effect throughout the United States?
Well, now, of course, we've had marriage equality in Illinois, and it was voted in by our Illinois General Assembly. So we've had marriage equality for, well, I think it's been over a year, and civil unions prior to that. But having marriage equality across the land is an absolutely incredibly marvelous, awesome feeling. When I heard the news, I burst into tears and I got goosebumps, because it just means that our gay loved ones, our gay friends and neighbors could move anywhere in the United States and they would have their relationship recognized as legitimate as those of us who are in heterosexual relationships. But the battle is far from over. A gay person now has the legal right to marry in all 50 states, but in many states, that person can still be fired from their job because of who they are, which is why we have to work so hard to get the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, abbreviated ENDA, passed. And that's going to be a very uphill battle, especially now when there is such a backlash to marriage equality. You see in state after state that the legislatures are trying to pass religious freedom bills. While these religious freedom bills are just thinly disguised, they're really anti-gay bills.
Mm-hmm.
So we have so much work yet to do.
And so how do you feel that, because it seems like some of this is that there's a lack of understanding, how does sort of your mission to educate go into helping with people understanding why marriage equality is so important, especially in some of those states where it is so opposed?
Well, I hope I'm answering your question here. The work we need to do, I think the most effective work that we need to do is sharing our stories one-on-one. If I were to stand up in front of a group of people who are very opposed to marriage equality or who looked upon gay people as somehow very sinful in nature and spoke to a whole group, I don't think it would be very effective. But when people, and I think especially parents, can share their stories one-on-one, or when LGBT people themselves share their stories one-on-one, hearts will change. And I think that's why we're seeing the change that we're seeing right now and why it's happening so quickly. And that's because people are coming out of the closet, and now there are fewer and fewer people who can say, well, I don't know anybody who's gay or lesbian or transgender, whereas the truth is, most people actually do. And it's harder to hate people you don't know. Excuse me, harder to hate people you do know.
Mm-hmm. What stories would you share? Oh, sorry, go ahead first.
I'm not sure that answered your question.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I think just because there's a lot of people throughout the nation who listen to this, what stories would you share since you are a parent of somebody who is gay? To sort of help people be able to understand where you're coming from.
Let me think about that one a minute.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Do me a favor, rephrase that if you would. I want to make sure I get to the heart of what you're asking.
So basically, you're saying sharing personal experiences is really important to helping people. So I was wondering, you know, if people who are listening could hear some personal experiences from your perspective that can help people sort of understand where you're coming from if they're not as familiar. I mean, maybe they don't have a child who's gay, or they may not be, I mean, just to be able to sort of empathize for where you're coming from. I think it's always important to hear people's personal stories.
Well, basically, I always try to work into a conversation the fact that either that one of my sons is gay or that I'm active in an organization called PFLAG, and then of course there's that pause when people then ask, well, what does PFLAG stand for? My children are all grown now, but I will occasionally run into the parents of students my children went to school with, and of course inevitably they will ask, well, what's so-and-so doing or so forth and so on. And now, for example, before we had civil unions or marriage equality here in Illinois, I would say, well, my oldest is married and my middle child is married, but until the laws of our land change, my youngest son cannot marry. And there would be kind of a quizzical look, and then I would smile and say, well, he's gay, and right now gay people are not able to be married. So I was certainly using that approach for a while. I try to work it into any and every conversation that I can with the intention of raising awareness. Until I knew that I had a son who was gay, my awareness was almost nil. I never thought about it. It didn't concern me personally. So in sharing my story, sharing the journey of our family, I'm hoping to raise awareness. It's difficult these days because that awareness is there. Now, I've certainly made mistakes along the way. I think the first time I ever heard someone say, "That's so gay," I went ballistic. I really should have had something better prepared. But it's like, don't touch my kids. Criticize me, but don't criticize my children. As a mother, my claws are out.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful, and it sort of shows, I think it's everybody's trying to, when they learn of somebody they know who's gay or something, trying to wrap their head, I think it's powerful that you're able to share those experiences. So, you've talked about this a little bit. Where does the gay rights, bisexual, and transgender movement go from here?
Well, probably our greatest growth in PFLAG right now would be in the area of transgender. We're to the point where being gay or lesbian is like, it's no big deal. It's old hat. There are still parents who come to us who are disturbed that they have a gay or lesbian child. But it's the parents of transgender who at this point are struggling the most. I had one mother say to me once, "If only my son were gay, but he's transgender." And I think that speaks volumes. Fortunately, there have been enough public figures. I'm thinking of Chaz Bono or Bruce Jenner. Again, people who have really raised the level of consciousness on transgender. And there are more and more programs on radio and television. The TLC network is going to be running a series of 10 shows called I Am Jazz. Jazz is a transgender teen whose story has been told. Certainly, we've heard it in our PFLAG circles, but now, she's become such a spokesperson for transgender. And now she's going to be having her own program here on TLC. Frontline, which is a PBS program, just recently ran a 90-minute documentary called Growing Up Trans. I think transgender people will be accepted more readily now because the groundwork has already been laid by the knowledge about gay and lesbian people. And there is this openness, there is this education. It's still far more difficult for these parents, the parents of transgender, than I think for those of us who are the parents of gay or lesbian children. For example, as a parent, one mother said to me, "What do you do with the baby pictures?" Because her child, who is you know, an adult, said, "I don't want any of these baby pictures around the house, any of these reminders that I was born male, or born, I should say, born with male features, male genitalia." So the parents of transgender are really the group who are struggling, and they are coming to PFLAG in record numbers, certainly in the Chicago area. I can't speak nationally because I'm not aware of what's going on in other chapters. I hope to learn more after attending our national convention in Nashville in October. But certainly here in the Chicago area, we have two specialized groups that are geared especially for the parents of transgender. And these groups are really growing. Chapter out here in the town of McHenry, which is in McHenry County, this is northern Illinois, about 50, 55 miles northwest of Chicago, we now even have a teen group for transgender teens. And how marvelous for these young people to get together with others who are like them. It is so important. So, I mean, the work that's being done is just mind-boggling. And I stand in awe. It is so needed. It's filling such a gap. And I'm obviously, you can tell, I'm really excited about this.
Oh, definitely. And it's amazing what you're doing. How do you support parents, families, and friends, as well as people themselves who are going directly through it?
Parents will find out about PFLAG. Frequently, the first step is making a phone call. We will talk with parents on the phone. We will meet with them over coffee and get them started. We put lots of resources, print resources, into their hands. And then we invite them to come to a PFLAG meeting and talk to other parents who have already walked this journey or who are farther along in their journey. They come and they hear the stories. For example, we had a new mom, and we say a new parent would be one who's recently found out that they have an LGBT son or daughter. We had a new person at our McHenry meeting just a couple of nights ago, and other parents in the group shared their stories with her. And then when the group broke up for refreshments and informal conversation, one of our moms sat down with the newcomer. And I think they talked for a good 30, 45 minutes, one-on-one. And this is where our best work is done, working with people one-on-one, but also giving them the opportunity to hear other stories in a group setting. So that's really how we operate and how we reach out to people. So through phone calls, through informal meetings over lunch or coffee, and then in the context of our chapter meetings.
So how do you have it so families and friends can be involved and supported without losing too much focus on building the rights of the LGBT community itself?
Jason, run that by me one more time, please.
Okay, so we deal with a couple different rights movements, and one of the things with disability rights is there tends to be a difference between parent support and people with disabilities, and sometimes that can become gray. How does that work in the LGBT community, where we want to help parents and families and stuff, but not lose the focus of helping the people themselves directly and keeping things towards that sort of goal?
Well, now I'm going to speak right from my experience as a chapter leader here within McHenry. Our chapter on average draws 30 to 35 people to each monthly meeting, and we are pretty evenly split. We have parents, about 50% parents, and about 50% LGBT people themselves. We had another new person at the chapter meeting who was a gay man who was looking for community. He was looking for other LGBT people to meet, become acquainted with, and hopefully form friendships. So we really do support both the parents and LGBT people in the context of our chapters. As a rule, we don't have a lot of family members other than parents. We seldom will get siblings or aunts and uncles. We do have one aunt in the group who's there to support both her transgender niece and gay nephew, which is wonderful. But it's usually parents and then LGBT. Although, no, I have to qualify that. Again, our chapter has been reaching out very heavily to the advisors of the local gay-straight alliances in our county high schools. We are getting guidance counselors and social workers coming to our meetings so that they in turn can learn some of the tools that they can use with their students in the high schools. So yes, there is this additional outreach. Again, did I nail your question?
A little bit, but I think because there tends to be, sometimes we get so focused on like just about parents or just, especially in the disability community, how do you keep it focused on making sure that the stuff that's going on is really about the people who, the LGBT community itself, and the parents are, you know, becoming advocates for people but not overrunning and becoming too powerful a voice for people and not letting people themselves sort of have that leeway as well?
Certainly, and okay, I should have picked up on that because I have worked in a college special needs department for 11 years. And it's true, many times parents will do all of the talking and their kids don't get the opportunity. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, how do you do that within the organization? Because this is a parent organization for this community.
We would like to see more LGBT people speak up for themselves. Now, when I talk about our LGBT kids, I'm not necessarily referring to grade school or high school or college age. I mean, so many of us are older, so our kids are grown, and obviously they have to speak up for themselves as long as they're in places where they feel safe, where they're not going to fear losing a job. So, you know, I think at first the parents were the voice for the LGBT community because we could speak up and take some of the risk taking off of our children. Now, in today's climate, they can more easily speak up for themselves because there is not only a growing awareness, but a growing acceptance. So, you know, I think we're moving toward the point where we have an equal voice.
Mm-hmm.
But parents, of course, will tend to maybe fight a little bit harder because that's just in the nature of parents. So I don't care how old my kid gets, I will still fight for him. And I might fight stronger than he would for himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how can the LGBT community become more inclusive? I mean, it is very inclusive, but include people with disabilities, religious people, different ethnic minorities?
It would be the same with the LGBT community as in the wider community when it comes to acceptance. For example, in our group, we have a young man who's not only gay, but he also has Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very readily accepted by our group. He was not readily accepted by a group that was solely LGBT. Which, you know, this is an interesting phenomenon, Jason, because You would think that people who have themselves experienced discrimination would be less likely to discriminate against others. Sadly, that's not always the case. It's people are people, and they're not always thinking. As an example of this, for the longest time, we saw a lot of discrimination by gay people against transgender people. And here again, you think that because they had experienced discrimination, they would be more readily accepting of transgender. This is where additional education needs to take place. And of course, that's one of PFLAG's three missions, you know, education. And we do a lot of educating of gay and lesbian people about transgender issues. More and more of our programs are focused on educating about transgender. Our chapter is very fortunate that we have a good number of transgender people who are a regular part of the group, and they too aid in the educational process. I think education is the name of the game, as well as knowing transgender people and listening to their stories.
Mm-hmm. And how can people get involved with PFLAG?
People can go to PFLAG, which is PFLAG.org, click on Find a Chapter, and it goes by state. Find a local chapter, send an email or make a phone call, and sign on board. Come to a meeting, meet people, and become a part of a group. You know, people can join their voices with the voices of others, because working together we stand stronger.
I agree. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I would first of all just like to commend you on the work that you do, connecting people with disabilities with resources in their communities. And this is such an overwhelming need for people. And because I've worked with special needs, I realize the importance of this. And you know, I think all of us working together, we're going to build better communities and a better world.